Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Showing Up to Your Life podcast and YouTube channel. My name is Art Burns, as it always is, and as I always am, I'm excited to be here to talk to you today. I have some great stuff to share. Yesterday, I went over some housekeeping stuff, and I just want to remind you all that I do have this amazing course that's going to be starting in a couple of weeks. Actually, looking like about 2.5 weeks, so probably 2 weeks from this coming Sunday. It's going to be a 12-week course, and it's really going to be centered around the challenge that we can sometimes face, especially in the emotion of anger. You know, as I've told you a couple of times here, I'm going to share a bunch of more stories in the next few days here, or over the course of the next couple of weeks, I should say, about my own struggles with anger. And struggles they have been. They've been real deep and difficult struggles. And so, yeah, I hope to share some stories that may resonate with some people, or, you know, again, maybe if it's not even you, but maybe your spouse or a good friend or a brother or a sister, a cousin, whoever, you know, maybe somebody in your life you see is just struggling all the time with anger issues. You know, they become enraged very easily. They feel very short-tempered. They feel very anxious all the time. They act that way. You know, maybe there are some outbursts. Maybe there are some difficult times that have been going on. And if any of these are true for you or for someone that you know, I really encourage you to get in touch with me, okay? Because it's not, you don't have to live like this, okay? I promise you. It seems as though there's no other way to do it, right? It seems like this is just the way life is supposed to be, but it's not. And it doesn't have to be that way, okay? It really doesn't. And it's the suffering that comes with especially an emotion like anger, you know, it really does cause physical as well as emotional and mental suffering. And it's, you know, again, it's just not necessary. You know, I mean, the emotion of anger is necessary, and it's necessary for us to have the capacity and the understanding and the ability to express ourselves in the midst of our anger. That's all very, very important, very, very valuable. But you don't have to live in a chronic state of anger, right? And if you are living, or if someone you love or know is living in a chronic state of anger, well, then they're doing a great amount of damage to themselves every single day that they're in that place. And so I implore you to get in touch with me, because this is exactly what we're going to be covering in this 12-week course. And I would love to have you or your friend or loved one involved so that I can help. And honestly, there's a little bit of a self-serving thing here too, because when I get to watch people go through this transformation the way that I have gone through this transformation, I tell you, there's almost nothing, nothing more, you know, sort of satisfying and inspiring to watch people go through this kind of change. And so I would love to watch you go through this change. And I promise you it'll happen. I mean, that's the easy part. That thing, I can guarantee that, right? That there is no chance that if you come through a 12-week course with me, there is no chance that you're not going to experience some of the changes that I'm talking about. There's no chance. It's absolutely guaranteed. And so that part I have, you know, and that's where it really is like a 50-50 proposition here. You know, one thing that I have a conversation these days with everyone who comes into my coaching program, you know, I'm very clear about the fact that, you know what, this is a 50% thing. Like, I have 50% responsibility. You have 50% responsibility. My responsibility is to show up and give you the information, give you the training, give you the encouragement, give you the accountability, the motivation. And your responsibility is simply to do the work, simply to do the practices that I talk about. And it's only like 5 or 10 minutes a day. It's not like hours and hours and hours. All right. But I promise you, if you come to the meetings and let me give you my 50% and you give me your 50% of just spending 5 or 10 minutes a day, I promise you, you will see the results. You will see them. There's no question at all in my mind, not even a little bit. And so one of the things what I wanted to talk about today, you know, it's really funny. Some days, you know, as I told you, I have this little notebook that I carry around with me. I get the small one specifically because it can come anywhere with me, right? It fits in the back pocket of my jeans, fits in the inside pocket of a jacket. It literally is with me all the time, right? And so when I come up with some ideas, you know, I just jot them down real quick and then I come back to them later. Well, once in a while, you know, I'll write a note and then go look at it a couple days later and say, what? What did I mean by that? And today is one of those days. In my notebook, I wrote, Let me just get it specifically for you. I wrote, why letting go seems so difficult. And I have no idea what was in my mind when I wrote that note. And so sometimes when I'm in this kind of situation, and it happens once in a while, but sometimes when I'm in this situation, I get to I sort of instinctively and automatically feel like, well, I'll just change the subject. I'll just come up with something else today, you know, because I don't understand what is in the book today, you know, but there's a value to sticking with it and a value to, you know, kind of, you know, putting out my best content, you know, even if it's something that I don't necessarily understand what I originally wanted to do, I'm going to discuss this concept, okay? Because it's true, okay? The fact of the matter is that a lot of people, and I'm sure this is where the note came from, as I was probably talking to somebody and hearing them say, like, I hear from so many different people that tell me, I don't know how to let go. Right? Like it just, you know, cause that's the idea, right? We say, just let go of the emotion that you're feeling, let go of the thoughts that are causing the emotions, you know, let go of your expectations of a situation, just let it go. And in that letting go, you're going to find yourself able to cope with whatever's happening in a much more sort of skillful and capable way. Right? But again, letting go is something that we don't have a lot of training in our lives, right? And in fact, in many ways, we're taught the opposite, right? We're taught to don't let stuff go, you know, save your money, right? don't give your stuff away, take care of yourself first, you know, this kind of thing. These are core concepts in a lot of ways of what it means to be human, right? And of course, you know, of course, some of what we talk about here is compassion and generosity and altruism, right? Which flies in the face of that idea of like hoarding things and taking care of yourself first and stuff. And so we know that it's not necessarily the correct way to human, but it is the way that we human, right? And whether that's, you know, again, influenced by our parents and by society and by school and by, you know, like, don't share your answers with people, right? Like, that's your work. Don't let them, you know, cheat off of you. Well, really, what's the difference between them learning off of me and learning off the teacher? You know, there's a lot of, paradoxes in the world in this sense, right? And so first tell yourself and acknowledge the fact that it's not your fault that you're having a hard time with letting go. You know, I find myself using that term a lot. You know, it's not your fault. And it's really powerful. You know, a lot of times when I say that to people, you know, just that statement, and this is even people I've never talked to before, right? I'm just talking to them for the very first time. They tell me about some struggles that they're having and difficulties and the, you know, the effects of the difficulties on their life, you know, and as they see things in their life, you know, not going well, and it's because of the difficulties they're having and this kind of stuff, you know, and it's easy to see all that and feel the responsibility for it, right? But most often, you know, and this is, you know, again, even in the first conversation, it happened just a few weeks ago with somebody who actually didn't wind up, you know, working with me as a coaching client, but we've had a few conversations. I've sent her some practices and here to support her anyway, you know, because that's the kind of person I am. But just saying that to her in the very first meeting, I said, it's not your fault. And I explained why, you know, because, you know, a lot of the things that we experience, you know, they're coming from really, really deep places within us that we did not create, right? They're coming from, you know, intergenerational trauma. They're coming from societal trauma. They're coming from, you know, things that happened to us when we were very, very small and we had no personal agency whatsoever. And we were just, you know, like, we were shuttled off to this school and that playgroup and this nursery school and that, you know, this, you know, playground and told to play with these kids. And, you know, we didn't have any personal agency. We didn't have any choice in the matter of any of this, right? But yet we were thrust into these situations. Well, in those situations is where we developed, you know, at least part of it came from these situations where we developed this thing that I call the programming, right? Where we learned how to interact with each other. We learned the right way that the world is supposed to work and all that stuff. And so if, you know, that was not your choice, right? You didn't choose the people that you're going to learn from, right? And if those people were showing you things that were not, you know, the healthy way to do it, the beneficial way to do it. And these are the things that have, you know, those are the seeds that have bloomed into, you know, what as adults we see as, you know, hangups or issues or shadow areas of ourselves that we need to, you know, figure out and work on, right? And that's where I say it's not your fault. None of it. I mean, so it's a tricky thing, right? Because, you know, saying it's not your fault. So it's not your fault that these things exist. And I think I said this in the podcast the other day. What you do with that knowledge from here forward, right? Now that is under your control. And if you decide not to address some of the issues and not to explore your shadow and not to bring the shadow into the light and bring the unconscious into the conscious and to work on yourself, if that's a choice that you make, well, then that is on you. And it's okay. I mean, it doesn't, you know, it's okay if you want to not work on yourself, but then, you know, don't expect to be free from the issues that are making you struggle and suffer, right? So that's kind of how that goes, right? So we do have a choice, and we do have an agency in which we can purposefully and intentionally, you know, repair some of these things, right? But the source of them is not your fault. And letting go and acceptance, which is just the other side of the same coin, right? Acceptance and letting go are very much the same action, just sort of, you know, one's passive and one's active, maybe you could say, right? But really what it is you're accepting the things that you want to avoid, right? And you're letting go of the things that you're clinging to, right? So it's the opposite, but it's the same kind of thing, right? But that concept of letting go and accepting, it's not your fault that you find it difficult to do it. It's not your fault that you don't understand the concept, right? And that's a lot of times what happens is, you know, I make all these videos and the podcast and I talk about this stuff all the time. And I do this in my coaching meetings. And, you know, I just appeared on a global summit with someone, you know, so I talk about this stuff all the time, right? And I think sometimes people hear me say things like, just let it go, just accept it. And they're like, I can't, I don't know how do you do it? Why is it so hard? So let's first talk about why it feels so hard. You know, number one, you know, there's a couple of different ways in which I can kind of address that, right? The first way would be the most sort of simple and basic kind of concept, right? Which is true in a lot of areas of this work that we talk about here, right? Which is to say that the mind and the body, right, the physical brain and the physical nervous system and the awareness and the processing of all of this that we call the mind, it all craves the familiar. And it craves the familiar on a level that is so deep that it's almost impossible to even, like, you know, it's almost impossible to even figure out, right? Because, nah, that's not true. It's very easy to figure out, but it's just so deep that it's like it's ingrained in us, right? And what I mean by that is, so the first way that we can look at this, again, is so simple that the body and the mind and the brain and everything that is our organism, physically and spiritually, right? The reason it craves the familiar is very, very simple, right? So the brain, right? The human brain is one of the most complex machines that's ever been created, right? Out of all the animals, out of all the insects, out of all the creatures that we've ever known of that have walked this earth, right? The human brain is, like, not just a little bit different, but, like, so much more developed and so much more complex that it's staggering, right? You know, the human brain is made up of, let me see if I can get my my figure is correct, and I don't think I'm going to, but I believe it's something like 300 billion neurons that make up your brain, right? That's how many individual cells make up your brain. And each one of those neurons has 10,000 potential connection points to other neurons, right? So the math on that is 300 billion with a B times 10,000. That sum, which would take like years to do the computation on it, right? Like you can only estimate this sort of thing. Like you can't actually do that math. It would literally take lifetimes to physically do the math out. But we can kind of, you know, we can, you know, just add zeros and stuff. So it's an easy enough thing, but you cannot compute it, right? Like you could not, you know, do the actual equation. It would literally take too long. But anyway, the sum of that, right? The number that you get when you multiply 300 billion times 10,000, right? That number is considered to be higher than the number of atoms in the known universe. So think about that for a second, right? Atoms, they're the tiniest things. Like everything that we have is made of atoms, right? Every planet, every star, every pen, every pencil, every notebook, every phone, every computer, it's all made of atoms, right? And yet in all of this huge universe full of atoms, the potential connections within our brains are bigger than that. Okay, so that just gives you an idea of how complex this thing is, right? Now, that doesn't mean that that's the amount of connections that your brain does make, okay? Let's be careful with that. Like, I don't want anybody, you know, send me nasty emails telling me that I'm misleading anybody. It's just kind of a way to frame the immensity of the number, right? But your brains don't make 10,000 connections of each neuron. You know, the actual number of connections is far, far smaller, but the potential, right? The permutating potential of it is really that big. So anyway, the reason I bring that up is because even though the brain is this like super complex thing and as complex and as complicated as it can possibly be, right? There's really just one thing that your brain is concerned about. One thing. And that one thing is keeping you alive, right? Because you got to remember that the brain is inside this skull, right? The brain doesn't see things. The brain doesn't hear things. The brain doesn't, taste things, smell things, or touch things. It only processes information that we're getting through these sensory organs, right? But by the time it gets to the brain, it's no more than like an electrical impulse, right? It's not like the brain doesn't know what a rose smells like, right? It only knows what you know a rose smells like, right? And so I say this because at the end of the day, right, all the brain wants is to make sure that the organism stays alive so that the brain stays alive, right? It's that simple, right? And so when we say that the brain craves the familiar, right, what we're really saying is that everything, the brain knows one thing about every single thing that you've ever gone through, from the very second you took your first breath till this very moment. Your brain knows one thing for sure, is that everything you've experienced up till this point, even though sometimes we're really scary, sometimes we're really painful, sometimes we're really devastating, but everything that's happened up until now, you have survived, right? So think about that, right? So all of the heartache, all of the pain, all of the hunger, all of the colds and the broken bones and the everything that's happened to you, right? You're still alive. So when the brain sees you trying to do something new, the brain says, no, 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 we're not doing that because I don't know that I'm going to survive this. So I'm going to put up as much resistance as I possibly can. And that's why when we say, well, how do I let go? I don't understand how to do it. Your brain is making you not understand how to do it, right? Like that's kind of what's going on, right? And it's going to sabotage your efforts into doing the thing that is new that your brain doesn't trust yet because it hasn't experienced it yet. Now that's the thing about practice, right? Is that the more we do the practice, like after you do let go a few times, your brain realizes like, okay, we're still alive. It's okay. We can do okay. Now I'm cool with it. So now you want to let go? Okay, I'm going to show you how to let go now. Right? So it's really about kind of coaxing the brain into, you know, giving us this power to be able to do the things that we're looking to do. And that's true of meditation. That's true of, you know, even like learning how to ride a bike or learning how to play a new musical instrument or learning how to speak a new language, right? All of these things, it's the same thing. The first couple of weeks are really difficult. You find yourself, you know, resisting and you know, oh, there's plenty of other things I can do. And I, you know, I'd rather, you know, go out and have ice cream instead of going to the gym, like, you know, like that kind of stuff. You know, that's the same action. That's the same thing that your brain is doing and saying, you know, we don't really want to do that because I don't know that we're going to survive that, right? But again, you get through those first couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden you're in the flow and now you're feeling like I can do this. I'm good at this. I'm really enjoying this. That's your brain engaging in the process and saying, okay, I'm going to stop trying to distract you from all this because I see how it's beneficial to you and I see how much you really want this. So now I'm going to give you extra energy. I'm going to give you extra resources to actually do this thing better, right? And so letting go and accepting are no different from that. But here's the problem with letting go and accepting, right? And specifically with letting go, you know, it's like, it's kind of like I said the other day when I mentioned that, you know, like if there's something going on that we know we can't do anything about, right? We worry because it feels like we're doing something, right? It feels productive. Well, clinging to something has a similar feeling, right? It feels like I'm actually doing something. Right? And the same thing with avoiding, right? I can always say, no, I don't want that to happen. I got to avoid this. It feels like we're doing something beneficial, right? It feels like we're doing something productive for ourselves. And so that's why it's really hard to do the opposite, right? Because, you know, because letting go is, I mean, it's exactly what it sounds like, right? It's just, it's releasing, it's allowing something to just be. And that is not what your brain wants, right? Your brain wants to control things. Your brain wants to set parameters. Your brain wants to, you know, like create a safe space for you. And here you are doing all this stuff. What do you mean letting go? How are we going to let go? You're crazy? We can't let go. What's going to happen to us if we let go, right? And so it has to be something that has to be practiced, right? And the best way to practice anything is to start very small, very simple, very slow, right? If you're, you know, I mean, you know, even the most amazing guitarist out there, you pick your favorite rock and roll guitarist, right? And we all have our favorites, right? You know mine, Jerry Garcia, no question about it, right? And Jerry Garcia can play, you know, when he was alive, he could play, you know, the guitar like so fast and so many little notes. And it's, you know, like many other musicians have remarked upon that, that like, you know, even at 100 beats per second, he was fitting in all these notes. And that's what made him the guitarist that he is, you know. But the thing of it is, right, that even Jerry Garcia, who is playing, you know, more, and it comes from like his bluegrass, like bluegrass music is all about like thousands and thousands and thousands of notes, right? It's all like lots and lots of little tiny eighth notes and 16th notes, you know, as opposed to 1, 2, 3, 4, right? In quarter notes would be 1 and 2 and, quarter notes are 1, 2, 3, 4, eighth notes are 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, 16ths, you know, keep dividing and dividing and dividing, right? And so even though he could play when he was 50 some odd years old, he could play with this speed and this intricacy. When he first picked up the guitar for the first time, I'm telling you, I wasn't there with him. And I don't know, I never read this, but I'm telling you right now, he could not do anything more than, it didn't sound right. I got to push a little harder. everyone goes through the same thing, right? And so what you do is you learn a basic chord, right? Where your four fingers are doing certain thing and you just do that and you hit the strings. And then you do a different chord and you hit the strings. And you go back to that first one, hit the strings. Go back to the second one, hit the strings. Go back to the first, hit the strings. And that's how you start to play music. That's the only way to start to play music, right? It's also the only, it's how we learn to walk, right? When you learn to walk, you didn't just start running across the room, right? And so even the fastest runner in the world, like Usain Bolt, right? Like Usain Bolt, pardon me. You know, there was a time in Usain Bolt's life where he was hanging on to the side of a chair and wobbling and couldn't even keep his balance and take one or two steps and then fell down on his butt. And now he's the fastest human being on earth, right? And so, you know, it's a great proverb, or I don't know what you would call it, but a saying, a quote, says that even a 1,000-mile journey begins with one step. And so how does that apply to acceptance and letting go, right? Well, you know, if we can practice letting go of the little tiny things, and we can practice acceptance of the little tiny things, then that's like taking those first couple of steps. That's like hitting the strum on an A chord, and then going to an E chord, and going to an A chord, going into an E chord. Before you know it, you can do it so fast. Boom, 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 boom. Make music, right? But in the beginning, it has to be one, two, one, two. So the same thing can happen with acceptance and with letting go, right? So when you go to the, and it can be in both in like informally out in our lives, and then I'm going to tell you how to do it with meditation, right? And the meditation, that's the simplest thing, right? But like even out in your life, like try to start just practicing, like, you know, when you go to the grocery store and they don't have your brand of milk, right? Or bread or whatever, just cultivate acceptance with that. Right? It's something that a loaf of bread is going to last you, what, 4 or 5 days, and then you're going to get another one. So in 4 or 5 days, you'll get the bread that you want. So accept it and live with it as something that's happening just right now, right? And again, accepting it or letting go of the you know, the necessity for this one kind of bread that you just can't have right now, right? Accepting it and letting that go for a loaf of bread, you know, that's really easy. But then later on, when somebody, you know, insults you or somebody does something that is hurtful towards you, well, because you've been practicing with the bread and the cookies and the coffee and the you know, the traffic jams and the music that's on the radio and all these little tiny things that you've worked on in accepting and letting go, well, now when somebody comes and hurts you, now you have the skill, the ability to let it go and to accept it, right? But even better is to do meditation, right? Because when we're meditating, okay, it's such a simple process, everybody, okay? There's so much mysticism around meditation, right? There's so much, you know, you got to get into deep meditation, you got to transcendental meditation, you got to get into the posture, you got to do the thing with your hands, you got to get, you know, gongs and you know, singing bowls and all kinds of stuff. You know, we need this stuff or else we're not good at meditating. It's all constructed, right? Meditation is nothing more complicated than just paying attention to something, right? That's all meditation is. And you can meditate on a sound, you can meditate on a candle, you can meditate on your breath, right? And so in the beginning, the easiest way to get into, the most simple way to get into meditation is using the breath, right? Because the breath is something we all have with us. It's always with us all the time, right? It's always going on and it's always present. Right? You know, I often used to say this, if I give you a jar with a lid on it, I'll give you $1,000,000 to go get me the breath you're going to take in 5 minutes. There's no way you could do it. I would win that bet every single time, right? So your breath is always present, right? And so the idea then is that, okay, so I'm sorry, not the idea, but the practice of meditation is to simply pay attention to the breath, right? Just paying attention to the in-breath, paying attention to the out-breath, paying attention to the little spaces in between. 10 seconds goes by, 30 seconds goes by, 40 seconds goes by, you're locked in. And then all of a sudden at like 56 seconds, you start thinking, oh, what am I going to have for dinner tonight? And then did I buy bread? I didn't buy bread at the supermarket the other day. I'm going to have to go get bread. I'm going to have to, you know, I got to go, you know, spend time at the grocery store. I don't want to go to the grocery store. Why is grocery? I should sign up for that Postmates thing that where they deliver the Oh, but then who's picking out my groceries? Are they going to get the, you know, what about an apple if it's bruised? Can I take it back to the store? I wonder how that works. I got to go online and check that out. That's how the mind starts going out of, you know, that's how we start wandering, right? And so in the moment when you're meditating and you recognize that you're no longer just paying attention to your breath, but you're thinking about Postmates and credit cards and return policies and groceries and who's picking out the broccoli and all that. When you realize that you're thinking about all of that stuff, now all we're doing is we're returning our attention back to our breath. That's the active thing that we're doing. But passively, what we're doing is we're letting go of those thoughts, right? When we realize we're lost in all those thoughts and we bring ourselves back to the breath, what we're doing is we're releasing our grasp on those thoughts. And if we do that every day, then letting go becomes something that is actually part of our you know, it's something we're practicing all the time. My colleague and buddy Adam Asdell, who I work with on another podcast that I've told you all about, he very beautifully in some of his guided meditations, he talks about specifically, right? He talks about the in-breath is returning to the breath, and then the out-breath is letting go, right? So even, you know, you can even look at it that way, that just by, I'm letting go, I'm releasing. And once we learn how to let go, right? Like once that becomes a skill that we have, it's going to lead to something really important, right? Which is not the bread at the grocery store, right? But really the most important thing, which is forgiveness. All right, because letting go and forgiveness are the same thing. It's the same thing. My coach talks about it. She says that forgiving is forgiving. It's not for keeping. It's giving it away. And that's what forgiveness really is. It's not carrying that burden anymore. It has nothing to do with the other person. It has everything to do with you. And it is all about letting go. And so by practicing letting go of the thoughts and practicing of letting go of the loaf of bread, what we're doing really is we're facilitating the ability to forgive ourselves and others. And when we can forgive ourselves and others, that's how we can transform our anger into something really beneficial and useful. And that, my friends, is going in the book as tomorrow's episode topic. It's actually already in there. That was just a deft segue there. I didn't include the forgiveness part of it, so I'm going to just write that one word here. And so you're watching this happen right in front of your eyes here. Forgiveness. All right. So, folks, thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you found it helpful and useful and perhaps inspiring. Please let me know if there's anything else I can help you with. If you would like me to cover something specific, if you want me to go a little further on something, I'm here for you, okay? I would love recommendations. You know, the little black book, you know, sometimes it's hard to fill up. So if you're giving me things, I can just jot it down, much easier for me. So that's fine for me. Also, again, I got this course coming up in a couple of weeks. I've already had somebody reach out to me yesterday. I love it. I'm so excited. But, you know, again, not to be like the FOMO guy, because that's not my style at all, but I don't want you to miss out just because it filled up so quick. And so I still have yet to make the announcement to the general public. So if there's anybody here in the tribe who wants to, you know, get, you know, kind of reserve a spot or just ask questions about what the program's going to be and maybe introduce someone else if you want to, there's a great way to do that. I'm going to leave a link in the description. That's for my calendar. You click it, you book a time, you get on a free phone call with me, and we can figure all of it out. All right. Thanks so much, everybody. I'll be back in tomorrow. Take care.